Pele leaned in and said something to Freddie.
Don't let them change you. Keep working on what makes you different and what makes you special. It was great advice, but it caused me some problems.
But what could change Freddie Adu?
Soccer is going to explode, and it's going to be around this kid.
We were the Beatles. Everywhere we went, it was the Freddie show.
And with that came the expectation, and with that came the pressure.
New episodes of American Prodigy drop Tuesdays from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the only daily podcast for your Green Bay Packers. Hold on, wait, that's wrong. Welcome into the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the only daily podcast for your NFC North champion, Green Bay Packers. And guys, that's still not wrong. That's still not right. Hold on. Welcome into the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the only daily podcast for your NFC North champion and current NFC number one seed, Green Bay Packers. I'm Dan Kotnick, and I'm joined today on this special Sunday edition of this fun little trio, our fun little trio of Matt Frelick and Janelle Mackey. Guys, how are you doing? And congratulations on the clinch. Happy clinchmas.
It's awesome. Winning the North back-to-back years. Beautiful. And becoming,
the way it should be.
Becoming even more of a Jalen Hurts fan. So shout out for
very
him
much so
beating the Saints. Janelle, how are things with you?
Yeah, you know, I'm still trying to kind of calm down the adrenaline. But, you know, big day, like Dan said, with that huge mouthful opener. But, I mean, What a day. You know, it started with the Vikings losing and it's like, hey, just one more step, and then they go win, and then cherry on top, the Saints lose, and it's like everything for the first time felt perfect today. In yeah, that overview. It wasn't, but in that overview.
Yeah, I literally had like a moment. I had many moments of doubt today, because, and we'll get into it, because this game was, like I kind of said, unnecessarily stressful at times. Considering the opponent. But I was sitting there and I'm like, they showed like the cut in from the Eagles game, and I'm like, the Packers, like, how classic Packers would this be at this moment where the Vikings do their job and lose, and now the Eagles are coming out here and doing the Lord's work and upsetting the New Orleans Saints, who haven't lost since we beat them back in week three.
They're on like a 9-game win streak or something.
Right. Like, we're just going to piss this chance away. But luckily the Packers, they didn't do that. Thankfully they turned it around. 31-24 winners over the Detroit Lions. The Packers are 10-3 and are your NFC North champions in this weird COVID year. And currently sitting in the number one seed of the NFC. So guys, the first question I want to ask you right off the bat, do you want the bye week? Because there's so many different theories on bye weeks when it comes to the playoffs, and then you throw in with the Packers, who notoriously in the last couple of years with their bye weeks have not come off of them great. So do you prefer getting the bye week in this year where it's only one team, or are you more of the old school mentality of just keep playing through and no rust at all?
Normally I would say, like, I hate coming off the bye week. And I think we talked about this on a previous episode, maybe a month or so ago, just talking about how the Packers have came off a bye with Matt LaFleur, haven't won a game yet off that. But I'm starting to think maybe the bye week's even better, just because it's a little bit more coveted this year, being that there's seven teams in the playoffs, only the number one seed gets the bye. So I think at this point, like, just keep playing. If you end up getting the bye accidentally, which is just you're playing so well, like, that's fine. I would much rather not have a bye week if necessary, but, you know, it's a little bit more coveted this year, I guess.
But yeah, no, I'm usually super, super superstitious with the whole bye week thing, especially because it's not just the LaFleur era, it's pre-LaFleur era that the bye week just hasn't been good to us. But, you know, playoffs is a whole different part of the year, so I think it's a little bit different. And, you know, with the way the year's been going, you kind of want that rest because players have been hurt and all that nonsense. So it's kind of like a give and take. Like, you hope that they can come off it because you want that time to rest and kind of scheme and figure out what you're going to do. But you also, like, some guys don't like that break because it kind of slows down the roll of things and kind of can cool a hot team. So I really don't know where I stand with that. I guess that didn't really answer the question. But, you know, I think just the way this year has been, I think the bye week would be really important just for health reasons. I think that would push me more leaning towards wanting the bye week.
Yeah, especially with, like, the health, like, stuff, you know, just, I don't know, a bye week, like, gives you maybe, like, a chance to kind of reset everybody, kind of lock down procedures, you know, keep everyone kind of in-house. I guess we don't know yet, like, what the playoff setup is going to be. You know, there's, like, rumblings of a bubble that gets thrown in for the playoffs, so we don't know. But, yeah, either way, a week off is going to be helpful to anybody, recovery-wise. And this, but the thing with this team is, like, right now they're pretty darn healthy at the moment. Knock on all of the wood, everybody out there, knock on all of the wood. But they're pretty darn healthy, especially considering the injuries they were dealing with at the beginning of the year. But so, yeah, like, one more extra week of recovery, just getting everybody back to 100% would be a godsend. I think here's the thing. If your mentality is, you know, knocking the rust off or, you know, getting rusty, like, championship teams shouldn't have to deal with that. You know, if you're a championship caliber team, the coming off a bye week shouldn't matter. So if you're going to prove that you're a champion and you get the bye, like, prove that you're a championship level team. Speaking of championship level stuff, like, this offense has to be talked about as championship level. I think that's really the biggest reason that the Packers are doing anything, truly fantastic this season. Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams are completely unstoppable. Aaron Rodgers' MVP season is still in full swing. But let's highlight some of the offense stuff from this week, guys. Just looking at the numbers real quick, Aaron Rodgers finished 26 of 33, 290 yards with 3 touchdowns, no picks, and no sacks. Finished with 133.6 passer rating, and Davante Adams led the way with 7 receptions for 115 yards and that one long touchdown, the 56-yarder on that first drive. More milestones here, guys. Davante Adams with the 8 straight games with a touchdown. If we were going to pick a, like, MVP of the team with this offense, does Davante Adams have a real case over Aaron Rodgers at this point, or is Aaron Rodgers just at a different level?
That's a good question. I mean, some of the stuff Davante does and just added to his game in the last 2-3 years is just insane, right? And we've kind of got accustomed to that with Aaron Rodgers, where he's elevated his game, right? It's been a few years since we've seen a new wrinkle in Aaron Rodgers' repertoire, or his bag, as the kids say. So it's like Davante right now is just, like, flying off the screen, whether it's he's getting the ball in space, whether he's just doing a quick little break. I mean, whether it's a back shoulder throw and he just runs 50 yards, like, just, it's just wild. So I think we've just grown so accustomed to Aaron Rodgers that MVP for the team probably go to Davante. But if you look at it from a large, you know, a little bit wider scope, it's probably Rodgers. Maybe an outside shot for Elgton Jenkins at this point. But we know guys in the trenches don't get a lot of love that often.
Yeah, I think it's because, I mean, Davante missed some time there earlier, too, and you kind of forget that because his numbers are so good that it doesn't look like he missed any time. And, yeah, what he does out there is just, I'm thankful that the Packers don't have to go every week and play a guy like him because, oh, my gosh, it would be terrifying. He's just, everything he does, and it's just so, like, he makes it look so easy. These ridiculous, like, the connection is just unreal, but I think I still have to go with Aaron Rodgers just simply because he was still playing well without Davante Adams there. I think that would kind of push me more towards Rodgers. And, I mean, he's 37 years old and still running in touchdowns, so come on. You gotta give him a little leg up on that one.
And, it's a stupid hypothetical, but I think, like, you know, it just highlights, like, how huge of an impact Davante Adams has. And like Janelle, like now I can't remember which one of you said it. I think it was Janelle. Janelle, you said like going up against a guy like this every single week.
Yeah.
yeah. Just take the credit, Janelle. If whatever it is. So, you know, he's almost sort of like that Reggie White level. Like, remember when Mike Holmgren was talking about, you know, in the interview of like, we don't want to go up against a guy like Reggie White. So the only way to do that is to have him play for us. And that's like what Davante Adams is now. Davante Adams, I think you can easily make the case he's the best wide receiver in the league right now. People want to talk about Tyreek Hill, but, and I don't mean to take away from Tyreek Hill and what he does, but like a lot of it is just based purely on speed, and he's faster than a lot of other guys. And that's how he gets into those positions. He still makes fantastic catches, but you know, Davante Adams does everything. He's the complete package.
I mean, he definitely owes that guy a pair of ankles for sure, but
yeah, consistently making guys pick up their jock straps after plays like that. And heck, I mean, you could argue like that pass that Aaron Rodgers threw into the end zone. I think it was on the second to last drive, I think when they kicked the field goal, where he threw the bomb to Davante off the left side and it got knocked away. If Aaron Rodgers throws that ball like a second or two, even just a second earlier, Davante had that guy beat by a mile. Mm-hmm. And the only reason he caught up is because he ran, you know, the end of the field came and Aaron threw the ball a little bit late and behind. Otherwise, Davante completely torched his defender. I think his name was Ford, up the side. Speaking of the wide receiving core as a group here too, guys, we have to talk about the game MVS had.
Absolutely.
Like that guy, that was just an absolute baller performance all the way around. The only knock was that holding call. But even then he came back and he made up for it with blocking. He caught every single ball thrown his way. And then that touchdown catch might be one of the best catches that this offense has had all season long. I'll throw it up there in like top three of touchdown catches for the Packers this year. MVS had a hell of a game.
2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world, with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Term and conditions apply.
Yeah, he did. Really consistent from start to finish, too. Normally, we've grown accustomed to see, oh, shoot, he goes deep for a 60-yarder. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, bobbled, overthrown, pass interference. Then he gets into the play, maybe with a reception or two. Oh, then he has another drop. And it was really, he was focused from start to finish. Hopefully he'll build his confidence a little bit, but doing things that we aren't accustomed to seeing, catching contested passes, kind of mixing up his route tree a little bit. You talked about the holding penalty, Dan, on the edge. Like if your receiver's getting, you know, six catches, a touchdown, 80 yards, like I'm totally cool if they're getting physical in the run game and getting caught for a holding penalty at some point. Mm-hmm. If your receivers are actually getting physical and like making plays like that, that's huge. So, and I think just the fact, I mean, Matt LaFleur's talked about this enough, like more than enough, which I think probably could talk about even more, just like the way that the selflessness between Lazard, MVS and Davante Adams specifically, just how they're able to, you know, they're going to block for each other, whether it's a smoke screen or a bubble screen, they're going to block for their running backs. And it's just that type of energy from the receiving core is just like, that's always where you get that little extra kind of something to put you over the edge if a guy's trying to get to the corner. But all in all, great game from MVS. Top three touchdown count? I'd have to look back. I think top three. I'll give you top three because it was a pretty damn good catch.
Yeah, it was just – it. I tweeted it, but it just makes my heart so happy considering what he's gone through this year to see him have a game like this, because I've been pushing the MVS redemption season pretty hard, and I really wanted to make sure that I'm showing, like, hey, no – if LaFleur and Rodgers have so much confidence in this guy, then our word means diddly squat, because he's obviously showing something that we're not seeing. And then for him to come out and have 85 yards and a touchdown and that phenomenal catch, like, I don't think there's a word that can really like say what that catch was, but it was just perfect. And he did bobble it a little bit, but he held on to it because it was contested. So just to see him go out there and game by game, he's going to gain his confidence. And it's not like he, like, it's receivers drop balls. Things happen. Not everyone's perfect. So he's somebody where it's like he could drop just a simple pass that would have meant nothing, and he will get attacked on social media for it. So I hope that this kind of shuts some people up and shows, hey, he's the real deal. And, like, there's a reason why Rodgers and LaFleur trust him so much. And it was just so fun. It was so fun. And I mean, I hope he just had, like, the best day, because I am so happy for him. I know I'm, like, very emotional over it, but I feel bad for him because of everything he's gone through. And it's like, and even when he's having a game like this, it's like people are still waiting for him to screw up, which is so messed up. But
no, I agree. I deal with it in my own family. They're all on the fire, you know, get rid of MVS train, which I would also like to point out to them. They don't listen, I don't think. To every episode. So they all wanted Davante Adams. They were on the Davante Adams train, you know, several years ago when everyone wanted to get rid of him because of drops. Like, guys, if Aaron sees something in a receiver, it means something. Like, you have to trust him. Like, Aaron, Ted Thompson, Brian Gutekunst, they can make mistakes in bringing in talent. But if Aaron sees something in a guy, that means something there, you know? I totally agree with what you were saying, Janelle. Like, I want this so bad for him, because I want people to see, hopefully, what Aaron Rodgers sees in him. Like we were just saying, the thing that came to my mind was the movie Miracle. Janelle, I'm sure you're completely well aware. You know, when they were talking about, and I don't remember the name of the goalie. But the starting goalie for the – yes, Greg. I knew Janelle would know right off the top of her head. But, you know, they were talking about – you know, they were hemming and hawing about bringing him on, and they said, you know, well, he's never been really mentally right ever since, you know, his mom passed or whatever. And Herb Brooks said, like, well, have you ever seen him when he's on his game?
Yes.
He's unstoppable. And that's what I feel like is with MBS. When he's on his game, he is a surefire – solid number two wide receiver and can do everything you possibly ask of him, you know? Like, he just needs to find that mental space to be able to execute.
And having a mentor like Davante who has gone through that is going to help him so much too down the road.
For sure. Sticking with the wide receiving group, I know we spent a lot of time on the offense, but that's the good stuff. And just kind of a simple point is Tavon Austin. Like, I was kind of I was interested. They scripted two plays for him in those first couple of drives, and he caught both the passes thrown his way for 8 yards. But then I didn't see him after that. I don't remember seeing him on the field. I couldn't keep track of every time he was on the field. But those were the only two times the ball was thrown his way. So kind of an interesting set up to see Tavon Austin in the scripted place and then didn't come back to it at all.
I didn't see him in the second half at all, Dan. And both those plays looked like they were 100% for him, like you said, scripted plays. I mean, but to his credit, seamlessly taking over for Tyler Irvin. The floor is pretty low with Tyler Irvin, to be honest. He's consistent when he's out there. So it wasn't high expectations to live up to by Tavon, but getting into that offense in his first, you know, game where he's actually active and running those little, I guess, swing patterns or whatever you want to call them, Controlled the ball, was able to run with it, broke some extra, maybe, I don't know, say broke a tackle, but he definitely stayed in bounds, you know, put his head down, try to get some contact initiated. So solid first half from him, but yeah, unfortunately not in the second half at all. It seemed even in the second half they tried to run the ball even more, and he really even wasn't a part of that. You would assume they would still run that ghost motion or jet sweep and fake it or whatever else you think he'd be a part of that, but not sure what the reason was for that. And I think, did he maybe have the one punt return where he maybe should have fair caught it, didn't? That was the only time I saw him out there.
Quite the flex from Tavon Austin, because there's no chance anyone else would have not fair caught that ball.
No, it was one of those things where it's like the guy ran past him too. So he was like, whoa, like I guess I'm going to still be able to do something. But yeah, that was a little bizarre. But it was nice to see Tavon. Honestly, kind of, I didn't really think he would get in on offense at all. But when I saw him out there the two times, and maybe he got another snap or two, but definitely was targeted twice and had two receptions. You would have hoped that he would have gotten more into the offense, but maybe that'll be things to come as we get towards the playoffs. But nice to see him get in the wrinkles of the Matt LaFleur offense.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, I was really excited just when he was activated. I was like, oh man, here we go. You never know what's going to happen. And then really nothing happened. But I mean, that's because other guys were having big days. So, you know, it takes away from wanting to target him when other guys are playing hot. And yeah, I think when you have somebody back there who you're like pretty confident in returning the punt, which it was also weird to see Jamal Williams on the kick return. I just need to point that out. But
right?
Yeah, so like that was a little bizarre to me. But, you know, they each only took one apiece back there. So I don't know. I think that hopefully this is just like a little sample taste, and then we slowly start to add more Tavon Austin to the plate over time and really get to see what he can bring to this team.
Yeah. And if that's the case, like if he comes in the last, you know, three games of the season and then into the playoffs and becomes even a guy that, you know, catches like Robert Tonyan level stuff, like Tonyan finished with 5 catches, 36 yards and the touchdown. Like if he does that, if he contributes that, this signing is completely worth it. And then, you know, just not messing up the special team side is, you know, the cherry on top of it. So that's what I'm hoping for. The only negative I saw from anything from the offense, I would say, is that second to last drive and the hit on Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only thing I could look at this offense and say, like, I'm worried about, because, you know, he at least came back out for the last drive to put the game away. But like how many times have we seen that face on Aaron Rodgers and it like spelled doom the last 5-6 seasons?
Yeah,
now, like I had panic attacks. Face,
it's like your soul leaves your body.
It's really a sobering moment to you guys. Like he hung in the pocket probably maybe a second longer than he should have there, trying to get that deep pass what he was doing, and like thankfully it went out of bounds. But I kind of sit there and you watch the replay and you're like, damn, that like it doesn't take much. Like maybe the guy gets an extra step off the line and he gets there even sooner. And like, I mean, it could be just like anyone's career, right? We've seen injuries happen anytime. Like it could just happen at the blink of an eye. And like, it's just like, okay, we avoided that. We have seen that face before. This face doesn't look like it's overly wincing. Doesn't look like it's going to need, you know, any halftime nourishment to come out and beat the Bears. But like, it's one of those things where you're like, holy shit, like it doesn't take much for him to really actually hurt his hip or hurt his leg or whatever. But luckily when you watch the replay, it looks like maybe he just got landed on a little bit. It wasn't like his body weight got hung up under him. And
I mean, so it was fine, 300-pound Kenny Clark landing on him like Matt Stafford.
Correct. Yeah. Like, it's so scary. Like it's frightening.
Yeah. But no, anytime Rodgers is like touched, I get very nervous just because it's like, oh my gosh, because like we can admit he's a little bit older, so it's okay to kind of think of him as a little bit more fragile, and he's taken kind of a beating throughout the year, you know, like with the offensive line moving, they're doing a really good job, but when somebody gets through, like everybody wants to punish Aaron Rodgers. That's kind of their goal. Like they want to sack him and punish him for being as good as he is at football. But yeah, I was really glad to see like when he got up and he's still kind of making that face, I'm like, oh man, like, I really don't want the, like, you know, we're about to clinch the division and then Aaron Rodgers out here making squinty faces because he's in pain. But, you know, he came out, did his thing. And like he always says, like, he learned to play behind Brett Favre, the Iron Man. So he knows how to handle that pain with dignity and go out there and do his job, even if it hurts. But yeah, I'm glad that it didn't take him out of the game, because even if they would have just precautionary taken him out, I would have been extremely nervous. And this podcast, I'm already pretty like shaky just from adrenaline, but I think it would have been very different. Like, my emotions would have just been so scattered, because, you know, Aaron Rodgers, like, what is this team without Aaron Rodgers? It's just it's a horrible thought. So anytime he goes down, you just kind of hold your breath and hope that he gets back up.
Yeah, it's almost like watching, I assume, because I'm not a parent yet, but I assume it's like watching your child play like sports, where every time they go down or they take a hit or they wince, you like clutch your pearls and you're like, you hope they're okay. I just want them to be okay, you know? And like, I feel like that the same reaction, Janelle, every single time he comes up like wincing or hurt. I'm just like, just get back up. Yeah. Just please, like, please be okay. And like, thankfully, I think, I mean, we'll see what happens, but if he came back out for the drive after that, I have to imagine that it's not anything too bad just yet, but we'll see how it kind of plays out the rest of the week here. But again, like you guys are saying, bye week, if you can clinch it, would be huge with something like that. Should we talk about the defense now, or do we even want to talk about the defense at all?
Yeah, we got to hit on them a little bit.
Okay. They had some moments, so.
They had moments. I mean, especially in the first half, I feel like, because that's when I feel the pass rush was really working. And, mm-hmm. yeah, like, that first drive from the Lions was not great for the Packers defense. Like, there was no slowing it down, no stopping it. You know, they pretty much did whatever they wanted. But really, overall, in that first half, I felt like that was almost the better half for the defense, because the pass rush was getting home and they got the stops that they needed to. In the second half, I think they were playing better individually, but as a whole, I feel like they played better in the first half. What do you guys think?
I feel like there's bigger plays maybe given up in the first half. The pressure was definitely significant. I think that was their best thing that in the first half. In the second half, you didn't really see too much of that. I think that's fair. I felt better in the second half. Just like I think they made some key adjustments. It looks like Hockenson kind of got slowed down a little bit. They're maybe manning him up a little bit different with the safety from time to time. And to be honest, overall, they stifled the run, which I was I'm looking at the stat sheet, it's just incredible that they did that, especially like Adrian Peterson. You think he would get a couple carries in there, but I think it kind of goes back to Matt Patricia is unemployed, Daryl Bevel really a big fan of throwing the ball around, so that's kind of what it came down to. But
just ask Marshawn Lynch, right?
Exactly. So it was, you know, I would like to see a turnover, that didn't happen, but guys flying around, making plays, definitely got sloppy there in the second half. A lot of penalties. That's unfortunate. But overall, nothing too concerning. Christian Kirk, he's still a liability in coverage. He's basically swapped roles with Preston Smith, who's worse in pass coverage at this point. But I want to pose this question. Janelle can obviously answer Dan's about the first and the second half comparison. But did we see Rayshon Gary at all in like the fourth quarter? I don't remember seeing him on the field at all.
Him and Tavon Austin must have just like went to get a snack or something together, because they just kind of disappeared.
I don't know, they're just gone.
Yeah, it's weird, like when a guy is playing so well and then he just disappears. And it kind of happened with Aaron Jones in the first half too, you know. It's mm-hmm. like, where are these guys? So it was really, it seemed like sporadic. The guys who were playing really well, there wasn't really consistency in their role.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know because I saw the on Twitter, like, people talking like, is he hurt? Is he dealing with something? You know, because you're right. Like, it was Rashawn Gary was playing so well in that first half, like enough that, you know, my parents or my dad, who absolutely hates him, was, you know, actually addressing it and saying like, oh, this guy's actually playing pretty good this week.
Mm-hmm. He got Dan's dad's seal of approval.
Yeah, the stamp. The all important, everyone on the team.
This is a dad podcast team. Don't forget, this is a dad podcast team.
At its core, it's a solid dad podcast. but yeah, like he was having such a great game, and then yeah, we just didn't see him. And I have to imagine like it has to be something with injury or dealing with something like that, because we saw the pass rush start to fall off, and it would kind of coincided with not seeing Rashawn Gary. And I just can't imagine that they were doing anything that different to stop him, that he wasn't showing up, like, you know, on the scorecard that he wasn't in there. And with Christian Kirksey too, Matt.
Yeah.
What, like, wasn't it said earlier, like with Raven Green out, Christian Kirksey was being like almost bumped into the nickel position, and I saw that and I'm like, why? Christian Kirksey doesn't cover. Like, that's the one of the worst things about him is his coverage. Like, why were they putting him in coverage so much? You know, it baffled me.
Doesn't make sense. He's a liability there. Like, it's I would, if I was any offensive coordinator, they're going to be going up against Matt Rhule, good offensive coordinator. No idea who the Titans are, but they can run the ball and throw the ball. Obviously Matt Nagy, like at this point throughout this rest of the year, I'd be just be targeting my running backs out of the backfield, make Christian pick up a guy. Like, that's,
yeah,
it seems pretty easy to exploit, but yeah, I confusing. I guess we go from one issue to another issue to another issue. Nothing's ever perfect with this defense.
Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment, or an overbearing parent screaming words of wisdom from the stands, fewer than 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Whether it be 30 years of Hall of Fame QB play in Green Bay or 30 years of quarterback torture in Chicago, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for watching football.
Yeah, but at least, you know, 3 sacks on the day is really good. Darnell Savage getting his first career, correct me if I'm wrong,
first career sack.
So in 3 games, he has, what, 3 interceptions and a sack. So it's nice to see him showing up. And Dan, I think it was Dan, who kind of said, like, it seems like there's individuals playing well, but as a whole, it's really messy looking. I think that's a lot of the problem, too, is there's no flow to it. And, yeah, it was really weird, you know, the run game. It looked worse than it does on paper, but for them to get beat in the air as bad as they were, I mean, I know Matt Stafford doesn't get enough credit, I don't feel like. I think he's a phenomenal quarterback, stuck with a pretty crummy team, but I don't know, it was just really disappointing seeing how burnt they were getting out there. And I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it looked like Kevin King was really struggling, and, you know, Jair playing really well per usual. You don't see his name a lot, and there was a couple times where, I don't remember what quarter it was, but there was a drive where there was maybe 2 or 3 in a row that were almost picked off. So there was a lot of almost interceptions where they were right there, but not quite. And I don't know, I just feel like when it comes to the DBs, I want to see more pressure. Like, instead of letting them get to the first down marker and then let them catch it and then make the tackle, I want to see them more on their guys. And I think that's what's really frustrating is, okay, we stopped the run. That's one part of the game. But then you get burnt in the air because you're actually playing a better quarterback than Carson Wentz or Mitchell Trubisky. Like, it's a different team. It's a different setup. And I don't know. I was really worried about Adrian Peterson coming in, but because, you know, he just has done some damage to this team throughout his entire career. And I think to see, was it him that got involved in that flea flicker?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, which was bizarre to me, but, you know, Kenny Clark stepping up, shutting that down right away. And it's fun to see Kenny really start to eat people up. I mean, he's Mr. December, so this is his time of the year to really have his fun with these quarterbacks. And I don't know, it didn't feel like the worst defense. I mean, it started out feeling like it was going to be the worst defense because I did say I'm preparing for my headache, but I mean, realistically, it wasn't horrible overall. We've seen worse, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
We've for sure seen worse. I think that the heart of it, and I don't mean to just keep ragging on the guy, but I think a lot of it came down to a lot of the issues we saw today came down to scheme, not putting the guys in the position to be successful. You mentioned Janelle there in that one drive where it was completely different. Guys were getting in front of passes and knocking them down. They were playing man. They were getting on guys and getting in their faces before they were, you know, finding spots in zones or finding holes to get open. Like that's how it was working, you know. But then you keep putting Kevin King on this, you know, in the zone, and he's just sitting out there doing nothing. There was one play where Jair was sitting on the right side of the field, and his man motioned into the formation, and he just sits out there because he's sitting in zone. And like that right there eliminates one of your best defenders right there because you're not putting them in the position to be successful. The players themselves did a lot to hurt themselves with the penalties and just poor angles, poor tackling, as we've seen before, you know. But there's something to be said about putting guys in the right position to make them be successful. One guy I want to highlight on the defense, though, is Kamal Martin, because he didn't show up on the stat sheet much, and he only had one tackle, but that blitz that he had he forced the play from Stafford and just absolutely wrecked Matt Stafford with a real nice, hard, legal hit. That is that's what you want to see out of Kamal Martin. That quick speed to just fly in there. Like, he's 5 yards off the line of scrimmage, basically. He's not showing blitz, and then still comes in there and makes the play like that. That's the kind of play that we expect from Kamal Martin. And we've seen it a couple times over the past couple weeks, and I've starting to really fall in love with the kid.
Yeah, I am too, man. And like, I heard a lot about him, I'm sure Janelle did too, living in Minnesota. You know, him being a Gopher, like, I heard a lot about this kid, and like, I didn't really ever see him fly off any highlights when I would watch Big Ten football, but when he's on the field, he's kind of like Darnell Savage was last year, where you would just see this blur and you're like, who the hell was that? And oh, it's 54 or 26. And like, they're just so quick to the ball. But Kamal can bring the wood. And like, that's an awesome piece to have. He's not just a straight line runner downhill. He can actually move a little bit, but he can definitely bring the thunder. It's just a matter of if they have someone next to him that can be like a little bit of that lightning in that defense. But I'm excited to see what Kamal could do when he stays healthy and continues to get his opportunities, because he's definitely an enforcer and another piece to that Petten defense.
Yeah, Dan, that play you were talking about, oh my gosh, it was like the Red Sea was parted perfectly for him. Mm-hmm. And he just like from 10 yards out, untouched, finds Stafford. And I was terrified before he even got to him. I was like, oh my gosh, he's just going to bury Stafford into Ford Field and we'll never hear from him again. And like, it's just, being that he was a Gopher, I was very skeptical just because of my hatred towards the Gophers. I was like, oh man, really? We drafted a Gopher? Come on, now I have to cheer for this kid. And I am so thankful that he traded in that ugly maroon M for a nice green G, because oh my gosh, I am so thankful to have him. And yeah, I want to see him more consistent out there. And yeah, like the injuries are a struggle, and I think he got caught on that COVID list at one point, so that was a bummer. So as he starts to play more, like, this kid, he's gonna do some damage, and then people are gonna maybe draw to him, which opens up more opportunity for other guys. So I'm really excited, because when I talk to my friends here in Minnesota, like, I don't watch the Gophers that much, and they kind of said, like, you know, he does his job, he's not like a superstar, but obviously what he's doing in the NFL proves that he has the potential to be that superstar. And I'm really excited to see all the stuff that he can bring to this table, because I was terrified on that run, and I am watching from my comfortable chair, and I was scared for my life watching him charge at Matt Stafford. So I want to see more of that. I want him to make me fear my life from my living room.
Like, fearing your life vicariously through.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So the last thing we need to touch on, and it sucks that we need to touch on this
again.
Do we
have to?
I guess I'm like, yeah, I think let's rip the bandaid off and get to it. What the hell is going on with special teams in Green Bay?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like, you've gone through, I mean, the The consistency is Mason Crosby, besides like one half of a season a few years ago, right?
Right.
But like between punters, punt coverage, kick, like just everything outside of kicking field goals and extra points is just an absolute shit show. Like it's, and it's been so long, but through different coordinators, different punters, different returners, like I just don't understand what the issue is. And like you turn the page from one guy to a new guy and it's just like change the hashtag and insert special teams coordinator, fire him. Like it's disgusting. Like when do you figure it out? Like luckily Mason Crosby knows how to tackle.
Yeah. Mason Crosby actually had, I think, let me look. He had as many tackles, like listed tackles as Rashawn Gary, Shandon Sullivan, Vernon Scott, and Kamal Martin. And actually had more tackles than Za'Darius Smith and Kingsley Keke, Mason Crosby did.
But your That's kicker shouldn't be out there making more tackles than right. your linebackers. My gosh.
Exactly. No, it's, I'm with you, Matt. I don't know what the issue is. Like I've said this before. I think I said it to you guys last year when we were having issues with special teams. Special teams is like pornography. You can't really define exactly what it is, but I can point to you and tell you when I see bad special teams.
Yeah, Dan, you've definitely used this analogy before.
I know, and I love it. I think it's fantastic, and I'll use it till the day I die. But like that's what it is. I don't know how it's wrong, why it's wrong, or like why it's doing what it's doing. Maybe a car is a better, more family-friendly example. I don't know why the car is making the noise. I just know it's not supposed to make that noise, and it needs to be fixed. So somebody take care of it.
It's like the special team's check engine light is always on. We don't know why.
Yeah.
That blows the pornography example out of the water. That's the specialty. I just imagine like driving and like a little orange light of like a kick, like a punter, like popping up. Like, ah, damn it. But the positive, you guys kind of said before, Mason Crosby. Like, I was so sure. I couldn't watch the kick. I had to have my fiance tell me if he made the kick because it was all just. It was lining up to just be Bad News Bears all mm-hmm. over again. Mm-hmm. You know, they mentioned that he hasn't missed a field goal yet this year from that distance. And then there's the false start on Elgton Jenkins of all people, you know? And I'm like, this is just that he misses the kick. It gives, we assume at that point, Chase Daniels a short field to come out and, you know, tie this ball game up. And I mean, just absolutely drilled it. And to do it in Detroit for him again, like, I think that made it even more special. Like, to just exercise some of those demons again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
We are very, very lucky to have Mason Crosby. Especially, I watched Dan Bailey all day.
Oh, so gosh.
we need to really appreciate Mason Crosby. And, like, it makes me, like, the grayer he gets, the sadder I get. It's like, okay, the Silver Fox is leaving us someday, and I am not prepared for that. And yeah, he's out there tackling and hitting 57 yarders, and it's just, it's unreal what he does. And on not a very good snap either.
No. So, yeah, it really wasn't.
So yeah, he's Mr. Clutch out there, and I feel like every week I'm like, this sucked and this sucked and this sucked, but thank God we have Mason Crosby. And that's kind of the narrative that has been since he's been here.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, too, it's like I saw a game today where Mike Nugent kicked a field goal. So Mason Crosby, I think we still have a few more. Luckily, I think we have a few more years of him, hopefully. So we'll see. But yeah, we need to appreciate the greatness while it's here. Like Aaron Rodgers, same with Mason Crosby. So kind of getting near the end of this here, guys. 31-24, Packers went over the Lions, like we said. Take over the number one seed in the NFC. Clinch the NFC North, so a second playoff appearance for Matt LaFleur. What's a big takeaway that you're taking out of this game as we move into next week's game and the rest of the year? Is there anything else in this game that we've missed that you want to touch on? Like what else do we need to bring out of this game?
I feel like everything's kind of coming to, we talked about the beginning of this episode, right? Getting the first round by, and how important that can be or how crippling that can be. I think what's most important is anytime you're getting towards the playoffs is the team is playing, whether it be basketball or hockey or baseball or football, like as long as the team in the last, 10% of the season, the last few games is really hitting their stride, that's what's most important. And this was the first game in the fourth quarter of the season, and it looked great. I mean, to be honest, like there was a few hiccups here and there, but it's not exactly where it needs to be, but you can still have those points of emphasis as we get into the playoffs here. So special teams, obviously they have a laundry list to go through. Defense, maybe making some more turnovers, figuring out why that pass rush was there in the first half, why it wasn't there in the second half. And then offense, like I think the offense is just clicking on all cylinders. We've shown that we can do it with Aaron Jones. We've shown we can do it with Lazard, MVS, Devontae. I mean, Robert Tonyan is becoming a legitimate top 10 tight end in this league, which is insane. So I think they're just hitting their stride at the right time. Are they exactly where they need to be? No, but it's making me feel really, really happy the way this is going. Fortunately or unfortunately, they have to go up against the Panthers, who are okay, a little bit decimated now with COVID, but they've been playing definitely above average of what they should have been this year. And then they have that tough matchup still a couple days after Christmas versus the Titans. And that's going to be a huge kind of benchmark. They obviously have the Bears at the end of the season, but that Titans game, I think, is going to be huge to kind of tell us where they are going into January and into the playoffs.
Yeah, one not done, right? This is exactly. Just one small little check mark on a very big scale picture. So yeah, it's great to win the division. That's the first box you got to check. And then to also have the number one seed, now you want to ride that out. Don't lose that. So yeah, I think we kind of touched on everything. It's just, I feel like the defense is kind of on a steady incline, and I hope to see them continue because Panthers have a good run game, and Teddy Bridgewater, if he's in at quarterback, he's a running quarterback, so he's more mobile and younger and stuff like that. And I don't know, I haven't watched much of the Panthers, but they're not a bad team. So, and every team comes in and they do their job, they're paid to play just like the rest of the squad. So I never like to look at record and all that stuff. I just want them to continue to be on that incline. And this offense is just it's really hard to think of something, because even with all the injuries that they've acquired on the offensive line, it's like they've still made do with that, and they're still playing at a high level. And all these guys, like you see, get involved. Even EQ looked good today, even in his minimal interaction with Rodgers. So it's just there's so much good on the offense, where it's like, the defense, if they need to slowly get better, it's not like you need them to step up right away, but you want them to just keep continuing to get better. Kind of like we're in the back half of the season now. You can't fall back. You have to keep getting better and figure it out. And special teams, I don't know what they have to do on that. Just maybe, maybe never play special teams. Just always go for it or something. I really don't know. But yeah, there was really ugly moments, but it felt really good overall. And I really hope that this is just like ride the high, ride it throughout the rest of the regular season, and got some tough matchups. But the Lions always give the Packers a run for their money. It doesn't matter how bad they are. They always make it a contested game. And I think I appreciate the Lions for that, because they kind of help you grow in that way. It's like, the blowout games are fun, but games like this kind of show you what's working, what's not working, and you can use in the back half of the season. So I'm really happy with how today went, aside from special teams, excluding Mason Crosby. So
I'm with you guys. I think it's great to get the win. It's great to lock up all of that postseason stuff. Like, that's what this is all about. That's what the whole journey is about. You've got, I think, three tests down the line that you can say offensively, you should be able to handle your own business against all three of these teams. Defensively, they should all three give your defense a test in the areas that they've struggled in to work out the issues. I mean, especially running game, you're going up against maybe three of the top five running backs in the league, like currently at the moment, in Mike Davis, Derrick Henry, and David Montgomery in Chicago. So you've got an opportunity here now that you've locked this up, figure out your plan moving forward. You're still trying to get the number one seed. It's not necessary though to win the Super Bowl to get the number one seed. So the next 3 weeks are about, like you said, figuring out how to keep this going and what you're going to do into the playoffs. That's all the rest of these weeks are. Here's the thing. Let me ask you this question. If I told you right now that the Packers over the next 3 weeks will lose 2 out of 3 games and they'll still host a first round playoff game, but out of those losses, their defense is going to be measurably better. They're not going to be completely fixed. It's not going to be completely changed. But like, if that defense is just demonstrably a little bit better, like it's noticeably better, would you take losing the 2 of the last 3 games, knowing you're in the playoffs, meaning that your defense gets just a little bit, we see an improvement out of the defense?
No, because I don't want to go in limping in 1-2, or I guess it would be 2-2 the last 4. And like, the Titans game is very similar to the Colts game for me, because I knew there was areas that both teams can exploit. They're built very similar. So the Titans game, I am prepared for them. If they were to lose, I wouldn't be overly shocked. Do I want them to lose? No. But they're kind of hitting their stride right now too. But to go 1-2 versus those teams, I mean, you'd have to lose to the Panthers or the Bears. The Bears would probably make the most sense since they are a division opponent. I just wouldn't feel very good about it. Granted, you probably wouldn't get the first round bye, but just limping into the playoffs it would not make me feel good, even if the defense is playing to the caliber that you're getting to, which would make me think then, Dan, that the offense is playing terrible. So I'm not okay with that.
Yeah, and I just don't like to lose. So I'm also going to say no, just because, you know, those wins kind of give you that high into the next week and the kind of the motivation that you need to go in week in and week out. So it would be nice to see the defense get better, but I would not sacrifice the wins to see them get better, because like Matt said, that means maybe other things aren't working and all that stuff. Like, if they lose and the defense is still playing well, I'll still be upset that we lost, but it'll be nice to see things get better. Cause yeah, it could be a tough last 3 games. Just, you know, you got Panthers who have a good run game. Titans are just a really good team right now. And then a divisional opponent. So it could be a really interesting last 3 weeks of regular season football. But yeah, I'm not sacrificing those wins for really anything. Like, it would have to be really, really good for me to want to give up a dub like that.
Fair enough. That's why I love these hypothetical questions.
Did
like
you
this,
have a different argument though for it, Dan? Like, do you have to be the devil's advocate? And
I mean, I guess I will kind of say, like, there's something to be said about, like, at this point of the season, I'm with you. I don't want to ever lose games, you know, like, that absolutely sucks. But if I had the promise of, like, now knowing going into the playoffs that this defense is going to be playing at a different level, I feel like there's something to be said for that. You know, it's, but again, like, that's why it's just one of these weird, stupid hypotheticals, because like, if they lose 2 out of 3 games and the defense, you know, still looks like crap in the playoffs, what does it matter? Like, what does it mean? You know? But like, yeah, I would take like, look, the defense improving a little bit, because even if the offense dipped a little bit, it's still at such a high level that I think it just makes this team a little bit more complete, but
more well-rounded.
Yeah. But again, with you, I'm also a fan and I never want them to lose any games whatsoever. Speaking of those games, the next one coming up is on Saturday night against the Panthers in Lambeau. The next 2 games, the last 2 games.
2 night games in a row.
Yeah, two night games in a row in Lambeau. So that's going to be fun. Hopefully, I want to see some snow like we're seeing in Buffalo right now. I want that. But that'll be the next game. So stick with us the rest of the week as we get you prepared for that. Andy is going to be on tomorrow. So Andy's a never miss kind of episode. So make sure you tune in then and the rest of the week as well. Make sure you're following us at Packaday Podcast on all of our social media. Subscribe, rate, review on all of our stuff. Tell your friends about us as we get into the last couple weeks of the season. Guys, where can people find you on social media? And do you have anything you want to let the people know about that you got coming up?
For sure. Yeah, you can still find me on Twitter at @Matt_Frey_. It's at @MATT_FRA_. Check out me and the boys, PWW Halftime Hits, PWW Live, and Packers Worldwide for all of our content out there. And of course, always check out Dan's Florial Fridays every Friday. That's a can't miss entertainment. Janelle, working over and catch everything. And what do you have going on?
Yeah, you can find me at BigMac_4. Mac is MACK. Everything, like, yep, most of my stuff you can find there, obviously, on Packaday. And then also got stuff in the works at the Say It Again Network. You can follow them at the SIA Network. I'll be starting to put out articles there, as well as, I mean, you guys have one more safe month without hockey because it's scheduled to start 1 month from today. So you have one more month.
Knock on wood. Before. Knock on wood, Janelle.
Yeah, I know.
They're trying their hardest.
They keep pushing it out, but yeah, so it's like your last pass of not so much hockey, but I will be doing a hockey podcast on there. So if you're like one of my five hockey fans who listen, be ready for that and just some other stuff in the works. So yeah, just a lot of good stuff.
A lot of good stuff coming up. I'm on Twitter as well, at DK All The Way. You can follow me there for stupid stuff. And then obviously Wednesday nights on YouTube for Game On Wisconsin, Lombardi's Bar, 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Lambeau time. Have a lot of fun over there. And then, like Matt said, Florio Friday, which is apparently like now that's like my biggest thing now. But we've got some cool stuff coming up from Game On Wisconsin for the holiday season that we've put a lot of work into that I'm really excited about and got to help out with. So stay tuned over there as well. And you can follow me on Twitter and I'll post all that stuff out there too. So make sure you check all of our stuff out. Guys, until next time, I think we're going to be, the way the schedule plays out, we'll be talking it right before the last game of the season. So until then, congratulations, everybody, on the NFC North. Happy Clinchmas, and go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.
Wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You could get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.